Good morning, Wisconsin, and welcome back to Kirch's Corner for our third installment of Wisconsin sports coverage. As always, I am your host, Lucas Kirchner, bringing you the wrap for the past week in Wisconsin. I got to be level with all you right now. If I sound sick or anything like that, I am sick. So battling through it all for this week's edition, but please excuse that. Information's all the same. Voice is just a little bit different. You could probably tell. But let's get into it right away. Just recently came out, Ryan Rollins finally re-signing with the Bucks. 3 years, $12 million for the young point guard who stepped in the absence of Damian Lillard towards the end of last year. And that's a move that I was definitely waiting for them to make. I thought he could have got swept up earlier by teams like the Lakers. They were looking at him a lot, trying to sign him. I think there was a lot of competition. Ultimately, he leveraged a bigger deal than Kevin Porter Jr. and Gary Trent. And that just adds to that core that they're going to have locked up for 2 to 3 years now ahead of them with Kevin Porter Jr., Gary Trent, Ryan Rollins, Miles Turner, all retaining them within the coming years. So that's a really nice signing for the Bucks. There's a point guard, probably their backup this year, assuming Kevin Porter Jr. takes that starting job. But before that, they were linked with Chris Paul. He's been saying he wants to go out as a starter, and I assume he would be a great fit in Milwaukee, but now with this signing of Ryan Rollins, things are definitely a little bit different. So that's one thing I was looking out for, but ultimately it dropped just recently that Ryan Rollins is coming back. So big stuff there for Milwaukee, but it leaves you asking where the team goes from here now that you know that they don't really have to make a move for a point guard right now. They could, but right now as it stands, the starting five, Kevin Porter Jr., Gary Trent. Three is a bit of a question mark. Giannis at the four, Miles Turner at the five. And second group, Ryan Rollins at point guard, AJ Green at the two. Then again, the three could be Taurean Prince, could be Gary Harris, Andre Jackson, Kyle Kuzma. Then you got Bobby Portis, Jericho Sims. That rounds out your two group. But the one guy that I'm really seeing as the odd man out is Kyle Kuzma. I'm probably one of the bigger Kyle Kuzma justifiers you'll find, but with this team, the way it's built right now, I don't really know where he fits in. He's not really a three. He's more of a four. He's got length. I have always believed in him myself. I think if he got a better chance and if you didn't judge him off the very, very low points from last year, he was a great contributor for the team. And I don't know. I believe in Kyle Kuzma, but the way the team stands right now, I'm just not sure where he fits in. I know everybody wants to see him used in a trade piece. It could happen. It could not. Ultimately, I think either way, they'll be just fine, but I'd still be on the lookout for that. It's kind of an odd lineup for Kyle Kuzma to be shoved into. I think if anything, he'll roll with that second group as the three, and Gary Harris would probably switch up in between two, three behind them. And I assume Andre Jackson Jr. would still ride Pine as he did at the end of last year. But if it stays that way, I still have a lot of confidence in the team. Great second group. As well as if Kevin Porter Jr. doesn't run the one, I think they're really banking on Mark Sears being a great addition. They're really publicizing him as if he was another one of their draft picks. He was undrafted, but it seems like they have a lot of confidence in him. And he could be another guy that could just turn out to be a solid contributor. I could see him playing, you know, maybe close to 10 minutes a night, given how they're going to rotate Rollins. I don't think they'll give him crazy amount of minutes, but then again, who knows? The lineup is subject to a lot of change before then, but the younger core is looking pretty solid. I think this Bucks team is going to surprise a lot of people. Obviously, I think that they've made a lot of great moves. The dead cap wasn't great, but they're bringing back Rollins, all their core guys. And you know what? I'd stay tuned this season. I feel pretty confident. And if they make another move, they make another one. If they don't, they don't. Otherwise, I still feel pretty good, and I think everybody else should as well. More action has been done in the front office. The Bucks have been losing some coaching. They lost one assistant already, and there's some teams going after Darvin Ham as well, kind of more as an assistant coach, but Milwaukee said they let him go for a head coaching job for sure. And in my opinion, you can go ahead and take Darvin Ham. I'm not a big fan of him, obviously, no hate, but I don't think he makes up the coaching staff of a winning team, unless you're talking about the NBA Cup. As an assistant, maybe he's definitely more reliable than a head coach, but I don't support the coaching staff right now with him and Doc Rivers. I just don't think that's a coaching staff that's going to bring you a whole lot of success. But, you know, losing your assistants is never ideal, but I wouldn't feel too much panic with that. I think you can kind of relax and see what happens there. Like I said, not much going on in Milwaukee right now. Still, a lot could happen, though. When free agency slows down, there's a lot of potential for big moves still. Now we can swing back to Green Bay, check in on the pack, and again, for them too, it's the offseason. It's quiet. But one thing that I've noticed is that they're getting linked to TJ Watt pretty frequently in trade talks, but I've probably said this a million times in my life. This happens every year. I think we've been linked to a Watt family member for 8-plus years now when it comes to the offseason, but yeah, TJ Watt would be amazing to have. All-pro, amazing pass rusher, everything, all the above. I don't have to list you anything off about TJ Watt. But again, I don't see this happening. I'd love if it did because he's fantastic, but I still think the Packers are saving that cap space for re-signings next year. Guys like Zach Tom, Christian Watson's deal is going to be up, Romeo Doubs, all these rookie deals are going to be up, and people are going to be looking for extensions next year. And another thing that people aren't thinking about is that when the Packers let go of Jair, they got a bit of dead cap for the upcoming season, which is never ideal. We know a lot about dead cap with the Bucks right now, but they still have a good amount of cap space compared to the rest of the league. And I don't think they want to make a big move right now. I think they're waiting for those re-signings. I mean, even with dead cap right now, which you could say, oh, it's not really our cap space. We don't have comfort to make a move. But this was really strategic in the way the Packers did this. So right now, with their dead cap on their payroll, they have guys like Preston Smith, Devondre Campbell, other people they waived. But next year, all of their listed dead cap is gone. So I think that's why the Packers opted to pay out their Jair bonuses in just this current year. They're not extending it over the next years. They're paying it all off at once because, again, they have the room to. And it's going to free up that much dead cap for them next season when a lot of these guys are going to be looking for new deals to re-sign, and they could make a move in the free agency then. They're going to have a lot of cap space coming up. So I think be optimistic in that regard. I don't view it as not trying to win now. I view it as being strategic. I think this team could win now, given a healthy team, full potential from Jordan Love, a great season from the wide receiving core. I think they could definitely be in the contention for a Super Bowl still, but I don't hate that they're saving up their money. I think it's really smart. But again, little action in Green Bay right now, but pretty soon, preseason will be coming, and we'll get a glimpse of some of the new faces in Green Bay. So that's pretty exciting. But now we can swing back to Milwaukee and talk about the one team that's actually still in season. The Brewers have been somewhat underwhelming since we last talked about them. Like I said in episode one, there's a tough first few weeks of July with the Mets and the Dodgers. And the Mets took 2 out of 3 games. They took that series. Obviously, it was close, but they ended up taking that. They just finished the Marlins series. They won that 2 out of 3 games. Obviously, would have liked to sweep. But the biggest story is Brandon Woodruff returning. It was amazing to see him back on the mound for the Crew after 2 years and not pitching for over 600 days. I mean, it's been since about 2023 since we saw him pitch last. He's been bugged with injuries, but you wouldn't think he missed even 5 days. He picked up right where he left off. 6 innings, 2 hits, 1 run allowed and on a home run, a solo shot. No walks and 8 strikeouts. He set up the Brewers to take the series. And now he's adding himself back to this team in a rotation that's looking really strong with Freddy Peralta just named an all-star and Jacob Mizorowski kind of breaking into the scene. I think, you know, there's a lot of promise with Woodruff coming back, and I feel really confident in that pitching crew. Obviously getting him back, Sal Frelick's been on a tear, Yelich, Churio, they're all kind of hitting their stride right now, but they have to put it all together at the same time. And I think that this next series against the Dodgers will be very crucial for that, because right now they're falling behind in the NL Central. The Cubs are growing their first place lead, and right now they're basically the second best team in the NL behind LA. They've been really impressive, and you want to catch up to them. You know, they're not too far off, 3 or 4 games back, but this Dodgers series will be really important for that, especially to compete against the best team in the NL will be really important. But yeah, hopefully things are swirling back to a great start. They have a great chance to bounce back in a huge way against the Dodgers this week, or of course they could fall completely flat. It's a slow week, so it'll be important to give the crew a little watch. I'll be at home taking on somebody that I personally have a little bad blood with. I can't remember that NLCS against the Dodgers very fondly. Gives me nightmares to this day, but tune into that. Should be fun to watch. Overall, it's been a really calm week to be a Wisconsin fan outside of what happened last week with the Bucks. Since then, it's been very, very quiet, low pulse, but the Brewers are trying to step back into the spotlight. So keep your eyes on the MLB, and after that, we'll talk again on next Monday, hopefully with some good news for all you, maybe a little more action. As always, I've been Lucas Kirchner on Kirch's Corner. Thanks for tuning in, and as always, we'll see you next week.